So then, from this fifth stage, the union of meaning, clear light, and pure illusory body, the practitioner will attain actual enlightenment, the path of no more learning. So they continue to meditate with this the union of that needs learning. They continue to meditate on the union of great bliss and emptiness, and then they remove the final veils of omniscience from their mind. They purify their mind of the all subtle imprints of delusions. Okay. And in the next moment, they become an enlightened being. And they attain the path of no more learning, which is called the union of no more learning. So it's the union of Buddha's form body, the enjoyment body, okay, which is a deathless body made of wisdom light, and the truth body, which is their omniscient mind, that abides eternally in the tranquil ocean of reality, emptiness, and is suffused with an all-embracing compassion and experiencing eternally great bliss. And this happiness of an enlightened being, the highest happiness, great bliss, it radiates eternally as compassion, gradually drawing all living beings to that same state of the glory of the truth body of great bliss. The truth, you know? The real truth. That's the union, no more learning. Okay, one last paragraph, and then we'll do some prayers and meditate. You know what? We have a human life right now where, due to the inconceivable kindness of Geshe Kelsang appearing in our world, coming to the West, we've just heard completely unmistaken, clear explanation of how to progress through the five stages of completion stage. You know what? Buddha's tantric teachings are more rare than Buddhas, because in this fortunate eon, there are only three Buddhas that will teach tantra. The fourth, which is Buddha Shakyamuni, we're Buddha Shakyamuni's disciples. The 11th and the 1,000th. Okay. So these teachings are so rare. It's rare to even meet Buddha's teachings in general, let alone highest yoga tantra, let alone such a clear, unmistaken, complete explanation that we are receiving from our teacher, you know. It's like a miracle to even hear these words, let alone have the opportunity to engage in the practices that lead to these realizations. Just hearing, just having the appearance, because everything is mere appearance, you know. This is appearing to our mind. This is a definite sign that our Buddha nature is awakening. You know? Enlightenment is not that far away. It only feels like it is because we believe mistaken appearance is true. We have this vivid experience of being an ordinary being, experiencing suffering in a world full of suffering and danger. And we grasp at that as true. That's like believing a dream is real. How fast can a dream change? And there are already signs that our Buddha nature is ripening. We're learning how to liberate it now from all obstructions, if we have the wish. But this is why sutra is so important. Because it's through sutra that we develop a strong wish to liberate ourselves and all living beings from the dreamlike sufferings of samsara, the sufferings of ignorance. You know? Because otherwise, And none of this is criticism, by the way. I mean, this is teachings for me. I just happen to be the one sitting here. Okay. But like, otherwise it's so, you know, like we get so caught up in the appearances of samsara. We get distracted, right? And then we have strong wishes for other things. And so then our wish isn't strong to engage in these practices. So, but you know, we gradually have to improve our faith, improve our compassion, our renunciation. So we have a strong wish. We can't bear this endless suffering, life after life, countless living beings. How can we bear this? And now we have the actual methods to cause this dreamlike suffering to cease permanently by awakening, you know, from the sleep of ignorance. So the point is not to be hard on ourselves or get discouraged thinking, oh, I'm so distracted. Not like that. The point is to realize what we have found. Realize what we have found. Be inspired. Like, it's really, you can't even put into words how fortunate this is. It's beyond words. We've always wished for happiness, but what is possible is so far beyond what we've ever imagined. Even what we could have conceived. It's only through the kindness of Buddha and our spiritual guide we're hearing words like great bliss. Just wait till we experience it. You know? That mind is by nature universal love and universal compassion. It's so profoundly peaceful, joyful, blissful, beneficial, you know. As I said before, the great Mahamudra masters like Saraha said, living beings do not understand. But if they did, meaning if they realized the true nature of things, they would know everything is great bliss. That's the truth. What we see is not the truth. So our spiritual guide is leading us to this, but our wish has to be strong for it. We have to really wish for great bliss, and not just for ourselves, but for the benefit of all living beings. When our compassion and bodhicitta is strong, then we'll have great energy for these practices, and then we make swift progress. At first, we just be inspired. You know, Kedrabje said, just hearing these teachings, he said, Kedrabje, he's on Jason Kappa's left. His eyes are a little more wide open. He was one of Jason Kappa's heart disciples. He said, just hearing teachings on the clear light of bliss gives rise to great joy. He said, just think what it will be to experience this, you know. Okay, finally. So, to finish that. Right now, we just be inspired, increase our faith, and then through our sutra practices, we need to improve our renunciation, our compassion, our bodhicitta, and gradually we'll have a stronger and stronger wish, greater and greater energy to engage in these practices for the benefit of all living beings. Okay, so we just have to progress step by step.